My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Welcome back, all. I hope you're all having an excellent start to the week. And thank you as ever. Sorry, get a bit closer. Thank you as ever, everyone, for continuing to get in touch and sharing your thoughts and opinions. It's hugely appreciated. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Let's begin this week with, this is a conversation I love. I think you like it as well. Residuals, prices of vehicles in general, what's going on? It seems at the moment that the range in vehicle prices is gigantic, even within the exact same model. Let's start off. So, is the only way to test our levels of common sense with regards to vehicle valuations the auction house? This really is, especially in a time right now that's so turbulent, the only way that we can know if we're being sensible with the prices we're trying to get for our motorbikes. This comes in from Bib the Boulder. I cannot recall a time when it was such a buyer's market. Everything from Harley Davidsons to hyperbikes available at silly prices now. Then look at some of the classic auctions. Only a few years ago, a decent Kawasaki Z1300 would set you back £10,000. Last week, Harry Metcalf, I'm sure nearly all of you will know, Harry Metcalf, one of the biggest British YouTube car journalists there is, probably actually one of the biggest in the world. He put a load of his classic motorbikes into an auction, and his Z1300 sold at auction for less than £6,000. This in itself is fascinating. So let's take a look at this. Harry Metcalf's Kawasaki Z1300 1979 model sold for £5,980. And this is a bike that was selling for £10,000 just a few years ago. This bike, if anything, Harry Metcalf's vehicles, they usually command a premium. Well, they almost always command a premium because he's so well known. He is a celebrity and everyone knows he fastidiously cares for his vehicles. You're going to know all of the history about the vehicle. You're going to know it's been well cared for and you get some, what's the word, provenance, knowing the history of the bike. So the fact that this Z1300 went for £5,980 means that actually this is very possibly even slightly overinflated. Maybe you even need to go less than that for a normal Z1300. I'll give you an example of this. Bib the Boulder, thanks for this. Take a look at how wild the used bike prices are right now. So bear in mind, Harry Metcalf's is under £6,000. That's what it went for. So we have to assume the market price for these bikes, $5,000 to $6,000. We have to assume it's there. There's one here in the UK, £8,500, 43,000 miles on the clock. And take a look over in the continent as well. This is wild, the range here. Here's one in Belgium, Kawasaki Z1300, 1986 model. It was listed, and this is in pound sterling equivalent, it's been translated to pounds, £14,079, reduced from that to £10,560. And it's still here available for sale, private seller. That is a £4,000 reduction. And it's still here for sale now. I think people have in mind that the market still where it was 4 years ago, clearly, and a lot of these bikes are going to have halved in price. Think Harry Metcalf's entire selection of bikes, four bikes he sold, all lovely looking Japanese motorcycles from the 70s and 80s, if I remember correctly. All four of them went for 20 grand. That's it, £20,000 for all of them. On now to David. Freddie, interesting discussion with regards to used bike prices. It's my opinion that they fluctuate, this is interesting, proportionately to new bike prices. There are so many new low-cost offerings now, not only from China, but just look at how Honda are challenging with their new models. The lower cost of new models causes the used bike market to appear to be in decline. This is interesting. Very good point, David. The used price can no longer be compared to the price when the bike was new. It has to be compared with new models. That is probably the most important point that a lot of people haven't got to yet. You know, a lot of people compare their bike price to a new model, but actually you need to compare what's coming out from, for example, the Indian models, the Chinese models, and also the likes of Honda doing unbelievably good deals on brand new bikes, Suzuki as well. So David, I'm going to put your theory to the test here. Take a look at this 7-year-old Triumph Bobber here. In fact, a lot of these go for this price. This is, or these are £9,400, £9,500 for 7-year-old Triumph Bobbers. When a brand new Triumph Bobber comes in at £13,200. So after 7 years, this is only about £4,000 cheaper. And you get no warranty, you don't get 0 miles on the clock, and you don't get the latest model. And they've improved these models. So it's just a £4,000 drop in 4 years. But going back, David, to what you're saying here, genuine question for all of you. I'm really curious what you think here. Bear in mind, you can get these 7-year-old Bobbers for £9,500, and a new Bobber is £13,200. Do you think, genuine question here, because a Bobber is a better bike than the bike I'm about to mention. It is a much better bike. Do you think a 7-year-old Triumph Bobber at £9,500 is worth near enough £3,000 more than a brand new Royal Enfield shotgun, brand new at £6,800? That just seems too off to me. Like, I know the Bobber's better, but a 7-year-old Bobber, it is not worth £3,000 more than a Royal Enfield shotgun. It cannot be. Cannot be, surely. I love this discussion. I'll do one more actually, because Harry Metcalf, he also sold his Yamaha XT500. This is a really desirable off-road bike, probably one of the most desirable off-road bikes. So I was a little bit surprised. His one didn't go for too much money. Let me just see if I can see how much it went for. Ah, here we go. So this was the Yamaha XT500 from which James Bond film? For Your Eyes Only. Famous bike. The Metcalf-owned one went for $5,577, according to visordown.com. So $5,500, that went for this very appealing off-roader. And I've found two here, just to show you. Bear in mind, Harry Metcalf went for $5,500. Same model here, both on Facebook Marketplace. One of them, that's a reasonable price, 1981 model, £4,250 in good all-round condition. Engine runs well, lot of grunt, no issues. That's £4,250. But then take a look at this one. Seemingly exactly the same, just 2 years older. Listed 3 months ago, good original condition, £6,500. So we've got £2,200 difference in pricing here from, in essence, the exact same bike, but the older one is £2,000 more. This just shows the huge variety, the massive range in bike prices right now, because people don't know where to price them. A lot of people are thinking they're worth what they were worth 5 years ago. A lot of people are newer into the market, realizing, well, look, this is the new price of them. They're not worth that anymore. This is where the market is right now. And only an auction will tell you, because if Harry Metcalf went for $5,500, I cannot see one here being worth £1,000 more without the provenance of being Harry Metcalf's Yamaha. This, I think this perfectly sums it up. This comes in from Keith over in Wales. After watching your recent Tuesday at Dobbs post discussing the state of secondhand motorcycle sales, I thought I'd mention my own experience at trying to sell my 2020, remember this, it's a really interesting point Keith makes, trying to sell my 2020 Indian FTR 1200 Rally, incredible bike this, with just 3,500 dry miles on the clock. I paid £14,000 for it 5 years ago. It has a bonus professionally made Super Hooligan flat track kit fitted that I used for shows and events across the UK. I've also explained this information in the ads that all of its new original parts can be fitted back to the bike in a matter of just 25 minutes. So you've got the best of both worlds. You can have this highly modified bike, or you can have it back to standard in 25 minutes because it's just clip-on, bolt-on parts. I've advertised it for sale at £9,500. Okay, let's take a look at these. Brand new for the FTR rallies, £15,000. So we're looking at a £5,500 drop compared to a brand new one. Okay, and I expect to be haggled down to £9,000. I've been trying to sell it now for the past 2 years. 2 years. Due to old age and health issues, at 70 years old, I've decided it's much safer for me to stick with my, Keith, you got a good taste, 1967 Triumph Bonneville. Anyway, as I'm not desperate for money, I will not be reducing its sale price. It's now parked up in a vented dry storage bubble, and yes, it is fired up once a month for oil lube circulation. I guess you could call it my grandchildren's time capsule, Keith from Wales. Keith, you have, I think, perfectly summed up the values of used motorcycles. Because common sense says, you've been trying to sell it for 2 years, you're massively overpricing it. If this was a car that you needed to sell, after 1 month, you'd lower the price. And if it hadn't sold after that 1 month, you would lower the price again until you sold it. Because if you have a car that's a genuine mode of transport for day-to-day use, you can't be waiting 2 years to sell it. The market will tell you very clearly with a car, look, this is the market price for it. You want to sell it or not? Because if you want to sell it, you need to reduce the price. But motorbikes are different. They've got that emotional attachment. And Keith, you have perfectly demonstrated the emotional attachment bikes have. For you, this bike's worth 9.5K. The market isn't telling you it's worth 9.5K, but you can't argue with emotion and passion. You've put your heart into this bike. You clearly love it to let it go for any less than £9,500. And also, when you don't need to sell a vehicle, and this is the case with a lot of motorbikes for us, when it's your toy, your plaything, when you don't have to sell it, you're not a forced buyer in any regard. You just leave it on the market. If it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, well, you know what, I'll keep it. It doesn't work like that with cars. You can't keep your Nissan Micra in the driveway for 2 years, because chances are, if you're looking to sell a Nissan Micra, you desperately need a new car to get to work in. And that is the issue. Keith, or I say issue, that is the situation. Keith, it's a stunning looking bike. Really very special. Thank you so much for sending
it. My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Give me that over. And good luck with selling such a unique bike like that. Thank you for that. I love that discussion on residuals, by the way. It's so fun doing that kind of stuff. I should say, on top of that, I think my Bonneville, I've said this before, I think it's worth, let's say, £2,000. In reality, maybe a couple of £100 less. It may be worth £1,800. The Jeep for me is different. I paid 14K for the Jeep. Sorry, some people hate me saying K. They say I sound like a corporate banker. £14,000 I paid. For me, it's harder with the Jeep, actually, because I feel it's worth more than £14,000 now. But I don't know if I'm now being delusional with the Jeep. It's a really interesting position to be in with that, because the Jeep's got high mileage, but it's a special one with that petrol engine. And I think the Jeep's worth a few thousand pounds more than 14,000. But in my mind, I'm thinking, God, am I being delusional? Not that I'd ever sell it, but if I had to put it up for sale, what would I put it up for sale? And if it would get less than 16K, would I be like, well, you know what, I'm keeping it? So is that me being delusional? It's a minefield. Right, let's move on. Wraps transform, I'm waffling. This is all the way over Norway from Tor. Freddie, my four latest bikes I have wrapped. Check out these pics as I discuss or I read this out. And it's so much fun to make your bike your own by this relatively cheap solution. The first bike I wrapped was my 30-year-old Mighty Honda Transalp. I added the Mighty bit, that I wanted a more modern look on. There was no ready template set for that old bike, but I got help from a local wrap shop. I then bought a ready-cut decal set for my Honda Africa Twin 1100 from Wink Graphics in Ukraine. It was a breeze to put on, and the decals fitted well on the Africa Twin. Doesn't have very large panels, so it's easy to work with since the pieces were not big. Then I was thinking about changing out the Africa Twin for a Transalp 750, so I bought one, and I had the decals ready the day after delivery for the bike. Flashy pink and purple decals with a metal glossy finish, also from Wink Graphics. Bike looked awesome, in my opinion. However, after using the Transalp for about 5,000 kilometers, I found out that I liked my Africa Twin better for the big tours, and I wanted something smaller for an adventure bike to accompany the Africa Twin. So I sold the Transalp, and it was sold the day after the ad went up. Stuff sells at the right price. Everything sells. The smaller bike to accompany the Africa Twin. I need to really look into this bike more because we rode with this superb bike. Smaller bike to accompany the Africa Twin fell down to this CF Moto 450 MT that I bought for half the price of the Transalp. This bike, this CF Moto 450 MT, this will be one of the bikes of 2026, I think. This may be CF Moto's proper here we are to the world. I really believe this. Straight away began to design a decal set for it along with Wink Graphics. So we came up with a custom Martini Racing. Look at the pics of this theme decal set, since I've always loved the look of those Martini RA2 Porsches. It was a bit more tricky to apply due to the large concave shapes on the 450 MT, but the imperfections don't show up on photos anyway. And most importantly, the decals protect the bike from wear and tear, from soft luggage, and if it falls over. Last month, I took the Africa Twin to Spain for a 2-week round trip around some of the awesome motorcycle roads there, from Ronda to the Sierra Nevada, to the amazing silent route Zaragoza, Toledo, and down to the Goraf Badlands Desert. I know that area, that is incredible around there. Amazing trip. I'm going back in February since I parked my bike there for the return. So Tor, you've left your bike in Spain, wow. Lots of positive replies on the look of the bike. I do post some pics and videos on my Instagram page, and now I get more views from Spain than I get back home in Norway. Tor, thank you for that. That is a really good spot for me to jump in. It was a sea of Royal Enfields on our Moroccan trip, but there was one CF Moto 450 ridden by James. First off, James loved the bike. He thought it was superb. Secondly, that was the bike that got the most attention from a visual point of view. All of the Moroccans wanted pictures of that CF Moto 450. They all walked straight past the sea of Royal Enfields and they made a beeline to this CF Moto. And it probably was the most visually appealing. This is an excellently finished bike. Perfectly proportioned, really nice looking front end. Build quality superb, and on and off-road, this exceeded expectations. It excelled itself. James is probably a better rider than me, but I couldn't keep up with James on-road or off-road on this when I was on the Himalayan. I was desperately trying, but I just couldn't keep up with him. This is a seriously good bike. Let's take a look at these. CF Moto. First, take a look at it. such a good looking bike with that one headlamp above the other. This is £5,700 brand new for a bike that looks that good. With the crash bar in there, little screen at the front, grab rails, perfectly proportioned, spoked wheels. I think they may even be, I think they're tubeless as well. 5,700 pounds. And it's got a 4-year parts and labor warranty. God, this is gonna be a big bike. Really, really big bike for CF Moto. I'm very, very confident with that. And with the Martini Racing decals on, that's a properly good looking package there. £5,700. Incredibly hard to argue with that. Really incredibly hard. The quality of finish on that is up to standard with anything. Seriously, it's that good. On now to the bike of the week. This is from Keith earlier with his Indian FTR rally. Keith, you've inspired me. I like the look of your Indian so much. Let's make this a bike of the week. So the Indian FTR, you've got Indian FTR, and then you've got the FTR rally. The difference is the rally is a slightly more off-road focused variant, but in essence, it's the same bike. This is a bike that arrived in 2019 from Indian when they were doing their huge new, well, I mean, this is a bit after, but Indian did their huge new relaunch and they brought out the Scout, and the Scout felt so, so fresh. It came out of nowhere to be a genuine competitor with the Harley Davidson air-cooled Sportsters. And you're thinking, wow, Indian have pulled it off with the Scout. They've made a V-twin cruiser that doesn't feel like a copy of the Sportster. It's very much an Indian. It's just perfect. Did really well, this bike. And then Indian came out with the FTR in 2019. And I remember seeing this thinking, wow, well done, Indian. You're reinventing yourself, not just for selling massive cruisers for the Americans, but for making smaller, cool bikes as well for the rest of the world where we don't have such gigantic roads. And the FTR perfectly fitted into that gap, a bike that could challenge the likes of, for example, the Triumphs and other bikes. Excellent looking bike, 1200cc V-twin. But at the end of 2024, Indian discontinued it, which is a massive shame. And you can get upset about it, but Indian have discontinued it for a reason, i.e. it clearly wasn't selling. So clearly this bike wasn't the big hit that I and many others thought it would be. So Indian are now carrying on with their big cruisers and they're slimming down their lineup. And when Indian were interviewed, why have you done it? They're like, well, we're refocusing. The sales haven't been there for the FTR. So we're going to focus on areas where there are sales because it's just not financially viable. So look, it looks like a cool bike, but they just didn't sell in the numbers Indian needed to justify keeping it in the lineup. I like the standard version, but I especially like the rally version because it looks even more purposeful. 1200cc, 230 kilos, 18 horsepower, 118 horsepower. And you can see from there, if we're talking common sense, well, this makes none of it. It's a 230 kilo flat tracker, scrambler, whatever you want to call it, with 118 horsepower, with a 1200cc V-twin. That is not a common sense recipe. It won't be that good off-road because it's far too big. It won't be that good on-road because it's a more off-road focused variant of a motorbike. But then do they have to make sense? It's just a fun, cool looking thing. And it's the American version of the Triumph Scrambler 1200. Just a cool, fun thing. So, brand new, these will set you back. And here's the interesting thing. I know production of these stopped in 2024. So I went onto the Indian website, not expecting to see one. I thought, right, I'm not going to know how much these used to sell for because, well, production ended a year ago. But no, Indians still have a full suite of these available on the Indian website. Whether that means they're such low sellers, they're still all available, or it's just normal that the bike production run stops and there are, for example, 1 or 2 years worth of stock left that they need to get rid of. I don't know if the happy medium or the truth sits somewhere in the middle of those two things, but either way, there's a full suite of these bikes still available at indianmotorcycle.co.uk. The FTR Rally, £15,000 brand new. What have I found for bike of the week? Tell you what, I found something quite pleasing. 15,000 brand new, used. Indian, here we go. This is not bad, actually. This is not bad. 5 years, it's dropped from 15,000 to £6,995. That sounds about right. That is an £8,000 drop in 5 years. That's quite tempting at that price. £7,000. That's such a unique looking bike. I remember when it first came out, people were freaking out about these. They were so different, so quirky, so full of character. It's a shame that it's discontinued, but that's the way it goes. If no one buys them, Indian aren't going to sell them. But that, I think, will just age better and better as the years go on, because that's a proper talking piece there. Sub £7,000 for what is genuine dream level bike. And I'll wrap up there. Thank you, everyone, so much for watching this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. And we've got the full suite of Libertatia gear, t-shirt, tool roll, and Lost Biker Stories. We ship worldwide, Australia, USA, Japan, Middle East, Europe, of course, all over the place. And all orders will be there before Christmas. We're making sure we're doing speedy delivery, everyone. So regardless of where you are in the world, so long as you order within the next 8 days or so, you will get it before Christmas. We can pretty much guarantee it. Thanks all for watching. I'll see you in the next one.